Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're here continuing in our series in 1 Thessalonians. Three things we've been looking at that run through this little book. One is living the victorious Christian life, which basically means getting the victory over that old nature. Number two, encouragement during persecution. And at Thessalonica, they were going through serious persecution at this time. And then all through this little book, the theme is there on focusing on the return of Christ, which seems to be the foundation of everything that's happening here. Now, we left off chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "But now when Timotheus came from you to us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Now, first of all, it says good tidings. That's an interesting phrase. It's in the Bible 13 times. It's only in the New Testament twice. Once here, where Paul was encouraged and refers to the fact that the good news brought good tidings, brought him peace and happiness and joy. You'll see that as we go through this portion of Scripture. The other time it's mentioned is when the shepherds were out in the field and the angels came and said, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Great joy. And so he says, we have good tidings of your faith, what you believe. In other words, they were still believing what they were believing when Paul left Thessalonica. Boy, that's something we wish we could say today, or so-called fundamental movement today. What most believed 10 years ago and what they believe today, it would not be good tidings to talk about that. And he heard about their love and the good remembrance that they had of Paul and Silas and Timothy. And as a result, we see here, they were comforted by your faith. We are comforted by your faith. Well, you see back in chapter 3 and verse 2 where they sent Timotheus to comfort them. And so as a result of that, what do we have? "Give and it shall be given unto you." We think that means money. It may include that, but it give encouragement and you'll get encouragement. Let me read in verse 8, "For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." And that word there, "if," means, like Jesus said to the disciples, if I go, I will come again. But now, there's no doubt he went. It meant since. Sometimes we use that word the same way today. We say if. It doesn't mean question about it. It just means since ye stand fast in the Lord. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes?" And so we live. What's that mean? If we didn't get good news, we're just going to die? No, we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Remember the story back in Genesis 45 where Jacob thought Joseph was dead and found out that he wasn't. He was in charge of all of Egypt. And the brothers, you know, the bad boys that sold them to slavery, came back and told him, Jacob, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when they saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And that's what we're talking about here. And so Paul's saying, "Well, you have revived our spirit. This is good news. We can carry on head into the future." Again, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Jacob, if he's feeling all the pains and aches of old age that I'm feeling, his body didn't feel any better, but his soul and his spirit. Boy, that's the part that matters. And so, no greater joy, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so it was with Paul and Silas, and they heard that the Christians back there in Thessalonica were walking, there's movement there, walking in truth. So again, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, I read that, and I thought, why is the question mark there? Doesn't make much sense. Well, if you read it together with verse 9, for what thanks, it is a question, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so, once again, Paul's very concerned that those Christians back there are moving along. They're walking, but, you know, haven't attained yet. It's like Paul said, not as though I'd already attained, but I'm working on it. And we need to keep working on faith. Faith means what we believe. Verse 11, now God himself and our Father and Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Direct our way. We need to learn, as Isaiah 31 says, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. In other words, we need to figure out, you know, before we get out into this Sodom and Gomorrah society, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Which way should I go? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? We're not talking physically so much as spiritually here in this portion of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And so here we see direct your heart, not so much, as I said, physically, but direct what, Lord, you want me to love somebody I'm not loving? Direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That theme, as we said, runs all the way through this portion of Scripture. And then in Isaiah 6:18, for I am the Lord, I the Lord love judgment, I hate robbery or burnt offering, and I will direct their work in the truth. And then Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will direct your path. This is one of those verses where you see them all through the Scripture, where God waits for our action and then he reacts accordingly. For instance, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's my action. Lean not unto thine own understanding. There's my action. In all my ways acknowledge him. Number 3, that's my action. What's his reaction? He shall direct thy path. And so we need to look at these verses with great promises and realize you follow the directions, I'll direct you. It's just that simple. Now here we read in verse number 12, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. The Lord make you. I read that and I thought, how is he going to make me? You know, I remember in school, two kids would be arguing with each other, you can't make me, and they'd end up in a fist fight or something. How is the Lord going to make me to abound in love? Well, the word means to make, to form by putting parts together. To form by putting parts together. Now, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he said, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he's talking about making you, he's not saying, I'm going to just push you down. I'm going to push you. No, what he's saying is if he will work in the heart of that person that is putting the parts together that need to make it all work. And here's some of them in First Peter. I have a chart on this. If you want it, just email me. I'll send you a copy of the chart on First Peter and adding these things. Very important. First Thessalonians 3:13, as we come to the end of this chapter, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Once again, his coming runs through this whole little book. Chapter 1, verse 10, wait for the coming of his Son from heaven. 2:19, at his coming. 3:13, at the coming of our Lord. And 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He is coming. So let's get busy about this, living the victorious Christian life. It just means getting the things we need to have the power to fight off that old nature, and God will give us those things if we'll take time. Get into his word and let his word get into us. Be sure to be with us for our next program.